Okay. Today, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the NLA Courtroom Observers Committee call for today is
30 August.
Sorry, what?
August
the 30th,
30th.
Of August 2017. And I guess, Bob, you can take it from here if you got anything that you'd like to comment on.
Well, I have a little bit. First off, I want everybody to realize that this call will end tonight no later than 9:55. Another call to make. Now we know that our patriots in Nevada, you know, there was a they were acquitted, except for a couple of them have a couple of minor charges. Something new has popped up today. I'm not sure what it is. I can pray it's the right thing, but all of a sudden they've decided that they're going to have a status meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 Pacific time. And all the defendants and their attorneys will be there, except for the two defendants that are on bail, they'll just call in. So I guess we can just, you know, use our own judgment on what that's all for, but at least it gives you something to think about. I'm kind of feeling like maybe DOJ said no more money spent on these trials. I think the money has been pulled. I'm hoping I'm right. I don't know that I am, but let's hope. Now we've been talking about many different things, and hopefully that it's making people realize how important being a courtroom observer is and how much of a difference you can make being a courtroom observer. Not the least of writing an affidavit for the defendant if they're going to contest their case. But I've been thinking about another way that as a courtroom observer that we can help. I think we all know that attorneys are not taught the Constitution and common law. You know, they believe it's been abrogated. We know it's not. But they need an education on the Constitution and common law. And so I'm thinking that while a courtroom observer is taking notes, and much of what they put in the affidavit can be used for what I'm thinking about, but it gives you more of a reason to really listen close and to know the Constitution and common law yourself. And I think that it can have an impact in the courts as well as writing affidavits. If we make a list of things that come up in the court, things that are said that are unconstitutional, things that are not common law, you know, these things could be used. If we make a list of them, that list could be used as a means of calling for a mistrial or contesting the trial, or, you know, maybe if they're found guilty, it can be used as a means of requesting a retrial based on the fact that their constitutional rights were, they were taken away. Now, if we made up a list like this, and this is something to think about, maybe think about how it best be done, but if you made up a list like this, it would be something the client then could maybe show to his attorney and give the attorney an idea of what's available to him as far as demanding a mistrial or a retrial or whatever they want to do. It gives him some things that maybe he would not think about just for the fact that he doesn't know the Constitution. And maybe it would make that attorney want to study the Constitution somewhat and make himself better in his trade. I don't know. What do you guys think about it? And, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Or shall we do it? What do you think?
Robert, are you talking about, like, putting down some cases? I mean, some sightings from some cases that tells what, for instance, what the Supreme Court has decided. I've been getting into that stuff myself, and I'm finding some very interesting rulings that the Supreme Court has made, as far as that, just everything that we talk about. So is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's not something that I really thought about. But now that you bring it up, if you're knowledgeable on those rulings and it fits the case, then, yeah, add it to the list. I was thinking where my mind was at was, paying attention in the courtroom and listening for things that are said and done by the judge and the prosecutors that are not constitutional and not within common law. But if there's rulings that you know about from the Supreme Court, that would be excellent. That would be excellent information for the attorney to have. And so we could provide more of a service, not only to the client, but possibly it can help. I haven't brought this up to John Darash yet, but I was thinking about it. And possibly we might want to do something with it in the NLA. But it would make the job of courtroom observer that much more important and that much more useful. It would add to the credibility of what we do. I'm just thinking off the top of my head about these things, and I just think it might be worthwhile to get into, and it would also be an incentive for us to all know the Constitution better ourselves.
Thank you for
coming up with that idea.
Robert?
Well, can I read a real short one right here that would apply to almost everybody?
Sure.
It says, this is Cruden versus Neal, and it says there, comma, every man is independent of all law except those prescribed by nature. I know this is going way back, but he is not bound by any institutions formed by his fellow men without his consent.
Well, that's very true, and it is by the Constitution, and that's absolutely a a good one to have on the list. Thank you. And there was somebody else that had something.
Robert, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I am Val from Florida.
Uh-huh.
There is such a thing like the friend of the court.
Yes.
You can individually, before the trial, if you know the citation, I mean the docket number, etc., and name of the court, you can write to the court what you think, how the court should proceed, and then you can mention certain things which are like the lady prior said that how the court should proceed in these cases. Friend of the court is the Latin word for it is, I think, I cannot forget, maybe somebody help me out.
Well, would you, I think you're on to something there. I'm just wondering if you might want to put together a presentation on friend of the court. And
amicus curiae, amica brief. That's the word. That's been used. I haven't used it myself, and I even I only heard. I never bothered to see one. Maybe you cannot even see this one because you know there is like outside of the trial, just for the judge. But John can certainly ask some Brent. Or you know somebody else, and I think we can. We have like 6,200 people. We can write our own words, and we can send maybe 1,000 amigas, and that could make the impact or may not. But at least you individually did something independently from the NLA.
Well, that's very true. And,
that's what I'm gonna say.
I would like to learn more about that, and maybe you could maybe put together a presentation on it for next Wednesday, where you can
like
speak
I said,
about it.
Like all. I said, I have not. I would like to discuss with John, for example, or Jen can speak to John, Gerard, Brent, and we still have probably 1 month before the September 24th if this case will proceed as scheduled. And then we can, you know, without a rush, you know, with some people from the variety of the backgrounds with better knowledge to come up with something and... Because John writes very good papers, but seems like
you know, what I'm getting at though is, you know, I'm sure that there are those of us that are not as familiar with how that's done or exactly what it is,
or even go and pay attorney $250 per hour and let him. Right, just example, and then, you know, you have there some template.
Well, I was hoping that maybe you might be willing to put something together to present as a teaching thing for the members here on the call.
Well, I think it's very simple. You can write a letter to like you write a your opinion to somebody else. And listen, this is the law.
Yeah.
This guy's been tried already. You shouldn't try that again. There should be jury of his peers. You have that, you know, something like that. Very short, one-page letter. To be just, yeah. Listen both sides. You know, don't be a prejudice. You know, just... Don't, you know, deny anybody, you know, his testimony. don't call jury off, something like that.
Well, I'm sure there's a proper way that it should be written. Maybe there's a form, I don't know. Is there any requirements from the court?
Well,
that's
why I'm asking, you know, to ask John, Gerard, and Jen, and maybe Brent. Obviously, Brent has much more experience than any one of us. He seems he can issue his opinion almost on any subject, any question.
Well, it's definitely something to think about. You know, everything that we can do as a courtroom observer to help ourselves, to help the client, we should be willing to do that. It doesn't, I don't think it would take that much more of our time, and it would be a learning tool for all of us. And so I appreciate the thought.
I am taking the civic course currently. I am with Thornton. I listened to Thornton before this civic course, and he's got some good ideas. For example, he said something about the declaration. Declaration is the same thing as the affidavit, with the exception that affidavit is more personal and declaration is much broader. I mean, the affidavit is personal experience. Declaration is kind of like include probably more view of more people. That's another thing.
Yeah.
And we can deal this on the different issue, not in the particular case. But that's what I have to say. If I find anything kind of like template, like you say, I will let you know.
All right. Well, thank you. Good thought. So, anyone else have any thoughts or would like to discuss anything that's been talked about? Or?
Well, then I'll say that quote that I read, that particular one didn't happen to be a Supreme Court quote. I just wanted to clarify that. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, we understand it wasn't a Supreme Court thing, but it is a constitutional thing. You know, that's just like no legislature can make law that controls the behavior of we the people. And the reason being for that is the fact that we the people are in charge. We hold the power, and the legislature is our servant. And so no servant can control our behavior. And we know that every day somebody is controlling our behavior unconstitutionally. And so that makes things even easier to find things to put on the list.
Well, I just looked up Amicus Brief, and it is just pretty much what he said. Well, I've got Friend of the Court up right now, and it says, is someone who is not a party to the case and is not solicited by a party, but who assists a court by offering information that bears on the case, and then all I did was put in Amicus Brief, and, you know, there's a whole lot that came up. So it sounds very interesting. sounds like something that a courtroom observer could participate in easily.
Absolutely. And so I appreciate you taking the time to look that up. That's great. And I'm wondering, you know, you seem very knowledgeable. It seems that you've done quite a bit of research, and I'm sure it's probably because of your own issues that you've had. But maybe you might even be interested in being the leader of this group.
Who are you talking to?
You.
That's what I thought. Robert, you're awfully good at this. I mean,
well, I,